This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, April 27th of 2022. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, newly released data indicates small businesses in Colorado are rebounding from pandemic lows. We'll hear about a bio blitz coming to Rabbit Mountain this weekend. As always on Wednesday morning, Chris Moore will share his commentary, Make Them Hear You. And then herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, and then it's the Hightower Lowdown. At 8:35, Kim Mooney will be in the Boulder studio for her quarterly call-in program on death and dying. Then at 9:30, Cameron Henderson will host the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead this morning, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Kiara Damari.
Hundreds of wild mustangs in captivity at the Canyon County Correctional Facility have died from an unknown illness. The facility has more than 2,500 horses, taken from the Bureau of Land Management Roundup last summer. According to the Colorado Sun, the deaths have sparked outrage from animal activists who say the holding pens for the mustangs are cramped, crowded, and stressful, and the perfect environment for infectious pathogens to propagate and spread. The BLM has rounded up thousands of horses over the past 2 years in an attempt to preserve parkland where they say the horses overgraze drought-stricken land. Advocates say the roundups are not necessary. Across the country, the federal agency has more than 60,000 horses in captivity. They plan on capturing 19,000 more next year. The Colorado Senate takes up fentanyl felonization bill. Nicole Rubin has more.
Brittany Patterson, a Democrat from Jefferson County, says the media focus on the refentanylization of fentanyl has been frustrating.
It makes it unlawful distribution of anything containing fentanyl a level one drug felony charge if it weighs more than 50 grams. The outdated law currently is 225 grams. Obviously, there are significant, huge differences with fentanyl versus other drugs. The level two drug felony charge is if it weighs more than 4 grams, but no more than 50. As well as the level three, which is more than four but below 14 grams.
But harm reduction activists say treating the public health crisis with criminal penalties is a step backward. They rallied on the steps of the state capitol yesterday at noon, just before the Senate took up the bill. Among the speakers was Justin Cooper, Deputy Director of Colorado Criminal Justice Reform.
The community's ready. We are available to be a continuum of care in this conversation called How Do We Respond to the public health crisis that we're facing with fentanyl. It is obvious to us as a state, it is obvious to us as a community, that we cannot have a dominant criminal legal response, because we know the outcome of that.
That's right.
And we will not, and I repeat, we will not, as a state, go backwards.
The bill, HB 1326, passed out of the House last week. For KGNU, I'm Nicole Rubin.
Biomed Realty LLC recently bought the Flatiron Park Business Campus for $625 million, making it the most expensive deal in Colorado history, with a 1 million square foot space and 22 buildings. It's the largest single asset sale in Colorado history. Biomed, a company that manufactures medical equipment, said that it plans to put another $200 million into renovating Flatiron Park. Once those upgrades are complete, Biomed says they will increase the presence of biotechnology and other life science groups throughout the campus. Boulder has become a hub for biotechnology and life science companies, however, leaders are not satisfied. In the public and private sphere of science, there is a lot of support and talk about making Boulder a top area for the industry. Many mentors in the industry are willing to volunteer their time and efforts to companies that run through CU, even though there may be less options for companies while they are in the startup phase. The Senate Bill 224 would make it possible for children conceived from an egg or sperm donation after 2024 to be able to learn the identity of their parent when turning 18. According to the Colorado Sun, this bill would be the first of its kind nationwide. It also requires fraternity clinics to put a 10-family limit on donors. There are 42 fraternity clinics in Colorado, and there is currently no limit on how many children a donor can help create. There is also no requirement for a thorough proof of the donor's medical history. The Senate Bill 224 comes after Colorado outlawed fertility fraud in 2020 in response to a Grand Junction fertility doctor who allegedly used his sperm to impregnate multiple women who were his clients without their knowledge. This April has been the driest one in Colorado for the past 30 years. Instead of the late season snow that we're used to, it's been dry, hot, and has had super high winds. According to the Denver Post, April normally brings the Denver area 8.8 inches of snow and 1.6 inches of rain. This month, Denver has picked up a trace of snow. Snow is measured in tenths of inches, and a trace of snow is defined as less than half that amount. Denver has picked up less than 0.05 inches of snow this April. Denver started April under abnormally dry conditions, which is technically not an official drought. As of the April 19th update, Denver is back under moderate drought status, with worsening conditions likely. In Colorado, anti-Semitism has increased 53% in 2021. The Anti-Defamation League's audit of anti-Semitic incidents 2021 was released Tuesday and found 92 reports of anti-Semitic occurrences. Since 1979, the ADL has published annual audits that track anti-Semitic attacks, harassment, and vandalism. Scott Levin told the Denver Post that this is reflective of a very troubling trend of increasing anti-Semitic incidents over the past 8 years and mirrors what is happening nationally. Colorado in 2021 was ranked the 8th state with the most reported anti-Semitism, according to the audit. That is the highest it has been in more than a decade. During this time, a Jewish family was harassed at a burial service for a family member by a man who drove by the cemetery and yelled, "Hail Hitler." A synagogue's virtual service was intruded by people leaving anti-Semitic and threatening messages in the live chat section. A Jewish person also received a voicemail at their business by a caller who blamed Jews for shutdowns caused by the pandemic. Today in Boulder, it's going to be cloudy and in the high 60s. The rest of the week should follow suit, with possible rain next Wednesday. Outside the studio, it's 45 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Kiara Damari.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Hannah Stewart. New data shows small businesses in Colorado seem to have rebounded from pandemic lows, at least by some metrics. According to the Quarterly Business and Economic Indicators Report prepared by the Leeds Business Research Division at CU Boulder, job recovery in the state reached pre-recession levels in February. In a press conference yesterday, CU Boulder researcher Brian Lewandowski said license renewals were also up strongly. However, other metrics paint a more muddled picture.
So GDP is up strongly. When we take a look at employment, we're seeing strong employment gains nationally and in Colorado. And Colorado's recovery is 12th best in the nation. 13 states have recovered their jobs lost from the pandemic recession, and Colorado is one of them. So that's a good sign. Wages are up. But when we talk to businesses and when we take a look at confidence reports, there's concerns that remain around the supply chain, around inflation, around the war in Ukraine and workforce and childcare and so on. So a lot of these concerns are real concerns for businesses and for individuals.
At the same press conference, Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold said the increase in small businesses may also be a sign that at least some Coloradans are having to seek supplemental income to make ends meet.
Because it is harder to get by for everyday Coloradans, because it's harder to pay rent, put food on the table, fill up your gas tank, Coloradans could be starting more businesses to supplement their actual day-to-day income. Remember, we have over 800,000 businesses registered in the state of Colorado. The vast majority of them are small. They include people who are teachers and teach yoga on the side. They include a lot of folks who have to supplement their income because, you know, just getting by is harder every single day.
Data from the Consumer Price Index for the Denver metro area shows that inflation in the region is significantly outpacing the national rate. Housing continues to be a major factor driving up the cost of living. According to CU Boulder data, home price growth in the state increased by over 18% since a year ago, and the cost of gasoline has risen by nearly 33%. You are listening to The Morning Magazine. We'll be right back after this quick break. Thank you. The Boulder County Nature Association and Boulder County Mountain Parks and Open Space, along with iNaturalist, is organizing a so-called Bio Blitz Saturday, April 30th, from 10 to noon at the Ron Stewart Preserve at Rabbit Mountain. For more on what's in store, KGNU volunteer and naturalist Elena Claver sat down with Claudia Van Wee of the Boulder County Nature Association.
Claudia, please tell us, what is a BioBlitz and iNaturalist BioBlitz?
A BioBlitz is a time when people get together and go out in the field and look and see if they can identify every single species that they can find. And what we're going to do on Saturday is to be part of the Boulder Denver BioBlitz, which is a competition between cities from all over the world that has been set up by iNaturalist. iNaturalist is an organization that is run by the California Academy of Sciences and the National Geographic Society. And it's a way to get individual people to be able to contribute to tracking what's going on in the world with all the species that are there. The problem is so broad, we need a large group of people to make identifications. iNaturalist has been set up in a way that is very easy for people to use. It's an app on your phone, and once you download the app, you can just open it and start quickly reporting observations that you make. iNaturalist will give you suggestions of something that you see when you submit a photograph. They will suggest what that photograph is, what kind of flower, what kind of insect, what kind of bird you're seeing. And you get to decide what you think is the correct suggestion. And then later people will verify that and you will get a notification that your observation has been verified and it really is what you thought. Or they will say, no, I think you're wrong. I think it's this. And you can then say, I agree or don't agree. Or if you don't know, you just don't reply. So in the BioBlitz, we're trying to see how many different species we can find in the Boulder, Denver area. That data then gets incorporated into iNaturalist and you can look at it. It also goes into Boulder County lists for wildlife and for flora. So you can contribute to expanding what we know about Boulder County and what we know is living here.
Now, this is everything from pointing your phone up in the sky to look at one of the many raptors that flies over Rabbit Mountain, or looking under a leaf to look at a lichen or an ant. Is that correct?
That is correct. And that's what's fun about it and very different from what we normally do when we're outside. At least when I'm outdoors, I'll notice the birds. I notice the flowers because they're bright and you see them. But I don't go looking among the grass and under rocks to see what lives there and looking elsewhere. So it's to do a broad survey of everything in this particular environment.
And iNaturalist is so easy to use, and it's so interesting as a way of citizen science and collecting data. So let us know, how can people participate in this? What do they need to know beforehand?
What we would like is for people to have downloaded the app on their phone and be comfortable taking pictures with their phone. If they go to bcna.org, which is Boulder County Nature Association.org, there is information and links to the iNaturalist website with instructions if you haven't used iNaturalist before. And it would be helpful to take a look at that. But we also have people who will be walking from group to group that's working and will help you if you have any problems. The process is pretty straightforward and pretty simple.
So the best way is to go to bcna.org and sign up for the BioBlitz.
That's correct. The sign up is actually done with Boulder County Open Space, and there is a link to the sign up location on bcna.org.
And that's this coming Saturday, April 30th, from 10 to noon at Rabbit Mountain. And before we go, can you tell us what else is Boulder County Nature Association up to?
Well, we have a list of classes. We have decided that we can get together once again because our education program had been on hold because of COVID. We have a number of classes coming up. We have some webinars and classes on forest management that we're doing in conjunction with the Left Hand Water Coalition. We have a class on dragonflies. We have one on reptiles and amphibians. We will be having a field trip up to Anchor Lode in Nederland, which is above Caribou, by one of the longtime owners of property up in that area. So we have a number of things going on, and you can go to the website and see what they all are.
Well, Claudia Van Wee, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for KGNU, this is Elena.
We go now to Chris Moore's weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You. Make them
hear you. This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. Yesterday, the Biden administration claimed at the U.S. Supreme Court that it has the authority to terminate a controversial Trump policy requiring migrants seeking asylum to wait in Mexico. The Biden administration has attempted to end the Remain in Mexico policy since last June. Texas and Missouri challenged in court. Now the Supreme Court will decide whether the administration must continue implementing the policy until Congress takes action. In December, the Fifth Circuit ordered the government to continue implementing Remain in Mexico, and the administration remains bound by that court order. With constant conflicting court orders, one critic said we are now at peak confusion. In a related policy, on April 1st, the Biden administration announced plans to eliminate Title 42, where the federal government can immediately expel anyone in the name of preventing the spread of COVID. Under this provision, migrants can be expelled en masse without being given the right to file an asylum claim. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle oppose the Biden administration's move to end Title 42, arguing that there could be a crisis at the border at the end of May. On April 7th, five Democrats and six Republican senators introduced a bill to prevent DHS from lifting Title 42 without a clear path to prevent a flood of migration. That Public Health and Border Security Act of 2022 is also in the House, the bill 7458, quote, to establish a procedure for terminating the suspension of entries and imports from designated places related to COVID-19 pandemic. Vulnerable Democrats worry it could create a political firestorm just before the midterms. Senator Kyrsten Sinema, Democrat, who drafted the proposal in conjunction with Senator James Lankford, Republican, told Axios that she met with Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas last week and again on Wednesday morning. Quote, it is evident that the current preparations and plans for the end of Title 42 are not adequate, she said. Republican Senator John Tester, a co-sponsor of the Senate version of the bill, said, ending Title 42 without a comprehensive plan in place to handle the flow of migrants will put additional strain on federal and local law enforcement and negatively impact the situation at the southern border, said Tester. The bill instructs the Biden administration to delay ending Title 42 until 60 days after the Surgeon General submits written notification to Congress formally rescinding the COVID-19 public health emergency and the national emergency. Immigration rights activists strongly oppose the measure, which they say perpetuates the injustices and lack of due process immigrants should be allowed to enjoy. If you have thoughts on the Public Health and Border Security Act of 2022 being considered in the House and Senate, you can contact your senators and congresspeople. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
Time now for Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. I love springtime, and I'm noticing as I walk around that I'm still seeing those little yellow flags that say pesticides applied. Ooh, that is really not the right thing to be happening on planet Earth at this time. Shouldn't have been happening ever, but so why are people spraying pesticides? Somehow we've been bamboozled to think that our lawns need to be made out of non-native grasses that use about a third of our nation's water. That is a lot. All that water could be used to grow other things. So where did this phobia about weeds come from? Well, it was actually started by the British aristocracy in the late 1800s. They wanted to make a social statement that, you know, they didn't need those humble peasant foods and medicines, so they simply had a lawn that was suitable for nothing other than croquet. Well, I don't think any of us want to be playing in a pesticide-laden lawn, having our children frolic, our pets play there. And even though you might think it's just your lawn, well, the pesticides are going to seep into the earth, sterilize the soil, kill the earthworms, and most of the things that we're spraying for are actually important food for pollinators. Think of the dandelion. Dandelion is one of the first foods for the bees in the springtime. So I realize that a lot of us live in places where we have homeowners associations. So what are some ways around this? Well, one is to grow Dutch white clover, which grows only a few inches tall, 3 or 4 inches, and it produces a flower. It doesn't need to be mowed. It provides pollination for the bees and other pollinators. And being in the pea family, it helps to enrich the soil by fixing nitrogen into it. Dutch white clover, Trifolium repens. Now, there might be some things you can plant in your homeowners association that tolerate drought very well. There's always the vinca. But you know, I'm a big believer that if you're going to plant something, why not plant something edible or medicinal? A lawn of thyme helps to repel bugs. Chamomile would be another nice lawn. Oregano. Lemon balm and mint grow so easily, and people worry that they're going to take over, but let them take over and then cut them and dry them and have tea for all winter. Both lemon balm and mint are antiviral, and lemon balm is also a favorite food for the bees. You might want to put in some fruit trees too. They don't require a lot of watering or care, and once they get going, they produce food for years. Plums, apples, crab apples grow really well here, and I love service berries. Thanks for joining me. You know, we all have a control over a little piece of land, even if it's a porch or balcony. So do something that's in harmony with the earth. Many blessings.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Hannah Stewart. Shannon Young has been the producer. Special thanks to Kiara Damari, Nicole Rubin, Alexis Kenyon, Elena Claver, Chris Moore, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program. A reminder that if you'd like to share a comment with KGNU, call us at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25 during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for the Hightower Lowdown and then Kim Mooney's quarterly call-in show on death and dying. That's after these news headlines from the BBC.
Support comes from Rebecca's Herbal Apothecary and Supply, connecting our community with botanical medicine products for those seeking to reclaim their health and our collective environment.